Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Holly Randall Unfiltered is sponsored by Twisties. Twisties is the ultimate lesbian glamour erotica website. It is the website that I have shot for the longest. I have produced some of my best content for them, and they are definitely your go-to place for beautifully shot, believable scenes between the hottest industry stars of today. So many of my guests that you've heard on the show, I have shot for Twisties. And so if you want to look up any of my guests' girl work, Twisties.com is the place to go. Their Twisties Treat of the Month is the most carefully curated solo scenes and girl scenes that showcase the best and the brightest in the porn industry. So make sure that you support my show by supporting my sponsors. And please go and visit Twisties.com. Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. My guest today is Kazumi. Not only is she an incredible independent porn star who you can only find on OnlyFans, Woo-hoo! She is also a savvy businesswoman, and we're very excited to have her here today. So, hi, thanks. Kazumi. Thank you for coming.
I'm so glad to finally meet you.
I know.
Yeah. You're like our Jesus. Like, you're our patron saint of, like, sex worker sluts. We're like, thank you, Holly Randall, for everything you do.
Wow. I have to say, I'm sometimes a bit of a narcissist, I have never compared myself to like the Messiah, but I mean,
no, you're pretty close.
Go on.
Yeah. You know, I would have you like by the bedside.
Oh my God. I love that. No one's ever said that to me before. This podcast is starting off wonderfully. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing super good. I'm a little congested, so I might have like a cough sometimes, but I'm having a great day.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's all right. You're allowed to have a cough. I guess we're not scared of coughs anymore.
No, I'm like double vax baby.
Yeah. Same. But it's funny because like back in the early days of COVID, if anybody have a cough for any reason, everyone would be like,
yeah, I used to give out free nudes to vaxxed people. It was like my movement to like help make the world a better place. One move at a time.
Look at you.
Well, I still do if you send me your vax, but I was like, please get vaxxed. Here's a boob, you know, two boobs if you're double vaxxed.
See, we're both here like doing so much good for the world.
Yeah.
I mean, look at us. We're just like saints.
Yeah. The world is a better place.
Because of us.
Yeah. For me specifically. Yeah.
So, you're on OnlyFans only. We were talking a little bit before.
I have a Fansly, but it's not like my focus.
Right. Okay. So let's say personal content platforms. Yeah. You've never done like mainstream studio porn or anything like that.
No, I'm a little nervous and shy. Mm-hmm. But I also like love the exclusivity that OnlyFans kind of gives me because, mm-hmm. I mean, unless you look for leaks, my OnlyFans is where my porn is at and where mm-hmm. I talk to people. So I feel like people are made to subscribe, you know? So I have been thinking about doing browsers maybe one time for like the exposure, but I'm not not sure yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you get, how did you become like a top OnlyFans creator?
So I am really, my parents don't know what I do.
Okay.
Yeah. They live like 10 minutes away. They would probably commit seppuku if they found out. So what I did, so I didn't have a social media for the longest. I actually grew my OnlyFans through Telegram, which is like, it's kind of like an encrypted like messaging app, like WhatsApp or Signal, mm-hmm. where like, where basically I just networked with a bunch of other like sex workers and we like exchanged like tips and knowledge and we like mentored each other. And I was able to promote myself by buying OnlyFans promo for the longest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Since OnlyFans doesn't have external, like, yeah. in like a like a search engine. So mm-hmm. I had to like buy promo from like other big girls for a second.
Okay. That makes sense. So yeah. it's not one of those like spam messages that I get all the time. Like, bro, you're OnlyFans, DM me. And it's like some random account.
No,
you're like actually paying girls like top creators. For
yeah.
Shoutouts.
Or yeah. I used to, that's how I got to a pretty high number, but I also would get into coaching groups. Cause a lot of the girls at the time would just like be like, hey, I know how to sex really well. Do you guys want to learn how to I sex? So it was like learning like a real estate course. I was like, yes, I would love to know how to sex better. So I would get that course, or I would like have like these things that were like, hey, do you want to know how to like optimize your profile? So like, you know, all of it makes sense. So I would like get a bunch of those coaching groups, and I just, you know, I really like marketed my OnlyFans internally. But eventually like all the glitches and stuff kind of like made my money a little inconsistent. So I grew my Instagram so I could have like a more consistent income all the time.
Mm-hmm. Even though you've been deleted 7 times.
Yes, I get deleted all the time. And I probably will get deleted again, knock on wood. But I was pretty insecure of how I looked for the longest. I'm kind of bimbo-fied right now. I don't know if you can tell. But at the time, I actually, when I started my Instagram, I grew my Instagram by doing memes instead of being a hot girl. Because I just didn't think I was hot enough to go viral or have people subscribe. So I would do things like I flew an airplane banner over Coachella with my OnlyFans link. I like photoshopped an a Fox News thing that said I got kicked out of Harvard for my OnlyFans. So I would like have memes and I would send them to influencers, because I just feel like if I sent you a bikini picture, like everyone else's picture, like you don't send that to your friends and you mm-hmm. don't post that on your story. Mm-hmm. But if you saw like Asian girl gets gangbanged 50 times and now she's kicked out of Harvard, you would send it to your friends. Hopefully, you know, and that's how I grew my Instagram for the longest.
Wow. I mean, you really have like a full methodology behind everything.
Yeah. It's, and I feel like it shows a little bit more personality too, which is, which is why I'm really into podcasts. But I've done a lot of guerrilla style marketing, like business cards. I've like walked around with a totem pole with my sign. I kind of love to embarrass myself. It's like my favorite thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I feel like, you know, being a full-time slut, like, you know, I feel like I've heard every insult under the sun. You know, like when like guys have really small dicks and they like start rationalizing like loving cuckoldry and stuff. I feel like I've rationalized like, oh, you're such a bimbo. Like, but it keeps my name in your mouth. So people keep like retweeting or resharing and stuff. Like it keeps me relevant. So which makes more leads to my OnlyFans.
Right. That's so interesting. Cause it's like the dichotomy of taking like, okay, I'm going to stereotype myself as this like bimbo, but I'm actually going to use this in a really intelligent way to market myself to like be really successful and make a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, all of it is true except for the Harvard. I went to community college, but like I did, you know, like fuck 50 guys and I did do all those like weird things, and just putting them out there for people to have opinions, like keeps conversations going, which keeps my OnlyFans, you know, increasing and stuff.
So you're probably fairly immune to like internet trolls and like internet.
I wouldn't say immune. I've definitely gotten on a few podcasts and gotten super roasted. I don't know if you saw the interview with me versus Sharp on No Jumper. I got completely demolished. I was not ready for like the misogyny and stuff. But for the most part, I feel like it's kind of impossible to cancel a sex worker, because mm-hmm. I feel like we already are technically canceled, mm-hmm. you know, for what we do. So I feel like I have stopped reading comments for my mental health. Yeah.
That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. The real ones know what I'm actually like. And when you subscribe to me, that's when I'll actually talk to you. So mm-hmm. I don't want to give anyone that power of making me feel bad or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. And I find generally that people don't like join your OnlyFans so they can say like horrible things to you. If they're going to pay, they're generally going to be kind to you. It's like the free social media platforms where people are then deciding
and
to
I have
use
stopped
that.
Reading them. So yeah,
that's smart.
Take that, guys.
They can't upset you if you don't let them get to you. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I mean, you know, I know that having that kind of like presence online and all that attention can be hard. I know that like I can definitely take things personally and I try to struggle to not do that. And you kind of purposely put yourself out there in a way that gets that kind of negative attention that someone like me is like kind of terrified about, but you seem to welcome it in a way because you understand that that's what like puts your name out there.
Yeah. There's no such thing as bad publicity. I'm kidding. There's some bad publicity, but like in terms of like what I'm doing, I'm just being slutty and being a silly little guy, you know? Yeah.
Do you feel like that's like authentic to who you really are?
Oh yeah. No, I've been doing sex parties since I was 19. I would do like live performance sex shows like for fun. Like a few days ago, my friends and I went to an adult movie theater and we climbed on stage and just like fingered ourselves. And like all the guys were like, thank you. And I genuinely love making men horny. Like it's like my like bread and butter. It fulfills me. If I could do everything, if my money situation was the same, I would do my porn for free and for fun. Like just because it's just hanging out with my friends, getting fucked and making people horny. And that validation like enriches me.
Yeah. I mean, that you kind of sound almost like the perfect porn star because, you know, this is a great industry for the right kind of people. And it's not a great industry for the wrong kind of people.
Mm-hmm. It's also been really fun to see like how far I can take it. Like, Kazumi is a real like part of myself, you know, but she is still a character that I want people to project their fantasies on. And like, I just want to feel like this like superhero for a second where I feel like I can be super slutty and then, you know, come back and be me, you know, when I come home and be cozy with my dogs and stuff.
So what is like the more you at home?
I would say, you know, it's not that much different. I would say I probably go to like a sex party like once or twice a month, you know, just to get the edge off. That's me. But besides that, I'm kind of a homebody. Like I don't go to clubs or bars. I don't go to loud places. It makes me like kind of nervous. My motto is I'll try anything twice. You know, I'll go to something weird. I'll go to a situation and I'll figure it out. Like I went to a furry convention a few weeks ago. I want to like find like, a little convention for like, people who are into like adult baby diaper play. Like I like understanding communities and coming into them and like getting in there. Like I went LARPing a few weeks ago.
Oh, how was that?
It was so fun. I was at the Renaissance Fair. Ugh,
I wanted to go to that.
I know. I was
daughter. My husband would not.
I was a wench. So. Yeah, like what I like to do for fun is like enter communities and like understand them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like so a slutty, you went as a wench?
Yeah, I was a wench. I would say like I was trying to come as a courtesan, like, but I was mostly wench.
So, okay. So sex parties, you love sex parties. Tell me about the first one that you went to.
So the first one I ever went to, I was getting over a breakup and I was swiping through Tinder and again, I'll try anything twice or a million times, but this guy's Tinder ad was just like a link to a Fet party. Do you know FetLife?
Yes.
A FetLife sex party. And I kind of was like, fuck it. Like, let's go. And he was like, do you want to meet in public first? And I was like, just pick me up. Like, let's just go. And I'm still alive to this day. And we went to this place in Chatsworth that I think was a porn studio in the daytime, but at night turned into like a sex party.
Yeah. And, that sounds about, you know, right.
And yeah, I mean, I got fucked by like five people, like men and women. But I remember the moment that I was like, this is for me, was I looked up and it was just like a ring of men like surrounding us, like a little mosh pit, like jacking off. And it just felt awesome. Like I felt like the center of attention. I was kind of nerdy growing up. I felt really empowered and I felt like everyone respected me. Like I felt like afterwards, like people came up to me and was like, that was such a great performance. Like, where can I find you? You can't, because I was 19 at the time. But people were like, wow, like it was so romantic. It was so sensual. I loved watching it. And like everyone just, it just felt like the perfect world where no one gave me shit for fucking in front of a bunch of strangers, you know? And I felt clean. We all had like a testing date party afterwards where we all got tested. Woohoo. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's kind of nice about like these small kind of more private, I guess, sex communities is that they do like, they like to engage in this cool stuff, but they also like respect each other. As human beings.
I'm like polyamorous. So I feel, so I was like indoctrinated into this kind of like little polycule. Mm-hmm. And we started throwing sex parties every Friday for like a year. It was like a cool, like situation because like at school I was like this film student, and then on Saturdays and Sundays I was like this like sex party mistress that was like had my orgy bag full of condoms and lube and stuff.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned earlier that your parents don't know what you do for a living. Do they still not know?
No, they don't know. They're so Asian and they're so old. I mean, I don't doubt my dad watches Asian porn, mm-hmm. but that's also one of the reasons why I've stayed only on OnlyFans, mm-hmm. because I just feel like he probably does go on Pornhub. You know, that's probably his main site because he's like an ancient, like wise being. He probably doesn't have like a favorite site or something. I honestly, when they ask, I talk about cryptocurrency until they tell me to shut the hell up. They'll be like, what? And I'll be like, Dad, like this is an NFT. And they'd be like, stop. Like, I really don't want to hear anything else.
Dude, that's such a great cover for like older people because whenever I try to explain crypto or NFT to my parents,
they're just stop.
What? And and that's such a great.
Yeah, so no, they think I did made it really big on Bitcoin. I have a little crypto, but not enough to like be where I am right now.
So, I mean, I feel like when I talk to girls whose like parents find out, usually it's like a friend of theirs who tells them. Are you worried about that happening?
I would say like outside of like the 1% that I look like this, like when I'm home, like I don't have my lashes on and I have no makeup and I'm not wearing things that show my body really. Like I'm just chilling. So when I go out with my parents, I feel like we don't really get recognized. And a lot of my close actual friends right now don't know my parents directly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, prayers up that they don't find out
And you think if they find out, they'll...
No, they would probably explode because we kind of had beef when I was growing up. Like they kicked me out when I was 19 and then I came back and then I got kicked out again and I came back. So it's one of those things where our relationship is finally in a good place because I'm older and it seems like I've got my life figured out because I do, but I do porn. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I told them, like they'd be like, wow, we went backwards.
That's tough. I mean, I don't understand what that's like because my parents work in porn and that's how I got into this industry.
And your parents are just cool.
But I can imagine that would be, that's tough.
Yeah, I would assume that like maybe one day I will tell them. But like it's just now is not the time because they're so nice to me now. So I just don't want to mess it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. So you have a marketing background, and it sounds to me like you really understand marketing. Did you apply what you learned from your background to like your OnlyFans?
Definitely. So I'm pretty sure I was in like in a pyramid scheme marketing thing. Mm-hmm. And every morning they would like indoctrinate us in like these like affirmations and like chants. And like they would have us like go like around a circle and like high five each other. Oh, so
it is so cultish.
It is kind of cultish. I will not name it, but I felt like I actually internalized a lot of positive propaganda and like self-talk. Like we were always listening to like Tony Rogers and like,
Tony Robbins,
I'm sorry. And like those other like influential speakers. And I felt like it really internalized like working hard and just like picking yourself up by the bootstraps. Like I knew what it was, but I felt like it made me a better person because they would send me door to door. They would send me to things like Skid Row and like, you know, go to tents and stuff. And I would have to like ask, like it was putting myself in uncomfortable positions to make a commission. And
wait, hold on. You were in a Skid Row.
Oh, so my marketing.
You weren't like trying to sell people.
No. Okay. What? No, my marketing job at the time was giving out free cell phones to people on EBT or Medi-Cal because people on low income definitely need a cell phone to be able to apply to jobs or go to buses. Okay. But the specific company I was in was very cultish and like made it like seem like this was like your life passion. And, you know, obviously I want to help all these people. So they would send me to all the welfare offices in Los Angeles County, Skid Row. I would go door to door in the projects and Section 8 and stuff like that. So I just really like saw like what it was like to, you know, like live in those types of situations and just kind of like be like, okay, I really do not want this for myself. Mm-hmm. And also like going door to door, like being me, like with my big bag of phones looking like this, like it really taught me like just kind of like perseverance, you know, because mm-hmm. I felt like a lot of people were like, no, I don't want you to give me a free cell phone. And I'd mm-hmm. be like, why? Don't you want it? So I learned how to like overcome objections and kind of like really like up my mentality and just not really care what people think, because it was kind of like an embarrassing job, but it was my job for 3 years. And I feel like now that I do OnlyFans, like I've done worse things for money for sure. Like I can definitely do this. And,
yeah,
like, put myself out there and like have people like project their opinions on me and shit like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's one hell of a training ground.
Yeah.
So did like going to the projects and, you know, reaching out to people on Skid Row, did that exposure, because so many of us like never really see that. Like we see it when we drive by, but we don't really immerse ourselves in that world. Mm-hmm. Did that give you like a sense of gratitude that carries on?
It definitely gave me a sense of gratitude. And I definitely, you know, am like super nice to people who are in those situations. And I definitely do not like people who kind of hate on the homeless people, because mm-hmm. I actually was chronically houseless between like the ages of 19 and 22. Like as in like I'd get kicked out and then I would like have to figure out my life for a second and come back and then find a weird boyfriend and live on his couch and just have to do like weird things in weird situations all the time back then. And it just really taught me like empathy, like mm-hmm. being kind first and like not really being judgmental and stuff.
Yeah. I think that's such an important lesson to learn. That
yeah. Especially
a lot of us don't have,
especially when you start making a lot of money, like, yeah. Like I would say like since then I've started to make a lot of money. And like money that I didn't even dream of making when I was 19. And my views on that sort of stuff hasn't changed. Like I am still, it's always being kind first, you know, yeah. I'm not trying to get over on anybody or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of like the most important traits one mm-hmm. can have. And like a lot of people are not very kind these days.
Yeah. It's not, it costs nothing to just consider how someone would feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, of course, gangbangs, because like
yay.
We have what, the gangbang gal? Is
yeah,
that what
gangbang gal.
Gangbang on. So hang tight. We will be right back.
Woohoo.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code HOLLY, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code HOLLY.
All right, guys, we are back. So, Kazumi, gangbang gal.
Yeah.
How did you get that name?
I love gangbangs. I've talked pretty publicly about this time I did 50 guys in one night. I would say I find gangbangs very empowering and I do them pretty often, but in my personal life, honestly, mm-hmm. I don't think I have one gangbang video on my OnlyFans, but mostly it's like a thing I just do like in my private life, because mm-hmm. I feel like I need to do it to take the edge off.
So explain to me how you find that empowering, because I'm sure, as you know, most people think that gangbangs is like one of the most degrading things women can do. So what's your argument against that?
I mean, the easiest way to explain it is like, if you were a guy and 50 women wanted to suck your dick, you'd be like, this is pretty awesome. So if you flip it around and I'm the guy and all these people want to suck my dick, it's just as awesome. And also, like, all the gangbangs I've been to, all the guys are, like, super about consent and smelling nice and just being... Because I go to, like, these, like, normal people gangbangs. They're not for porn or, like, for an event or for money. I just do them to be in the moment. And all the guys there are very like, hi, can I touch your elbow? Hi, do you want a massage? Hi. Like, they know that this is for me and I feel like the conductor. Like, mm-hmm. the visual of having all these men ready to pleasure me, like, turns me on so much to know that they're here for me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, because theoretically, if you're in a gangbang, and in an actual gangbang, like, where it's all about my pleasure, so it ends when I want it to end. Like, I'll have a guy in there for 2 minutes and I'll be like, cool, another guy comes in 2 minutes. Cool. I'm not really fucking to completion at these things. It's more like I just wanted like the visual of being surrounded. Mm-hmm. And so like after like a guy is like 2 minutes and I come, because I come really easily. It takes mm-hmm. me like 30 seconds. I feel like my vaginal canal brings my G-spot like right there. So like I feel like I rack up the bodies like pretty fast, like 30 minutes. And it's like there's no real difference between fucking one guy for 30 minutes versus 10 guys for 30 minutes, except the visual of feeling mm-hmm. like I'm a really cool gal, you know?
So wait, so I'm assuming that the guys don't come in. So wait, do you usually come with every guy?
I like to come with every guy, but that's because it takes, I'm one of those blessed women who can come from penetration. So like, it takes me like 30 seconds because my G-spot's like right there. And it like, you know, like most guys, like big or small, can make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, like, I'm so jealous of you. Yeah, and I cannot come from penetration.
And I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. My prayers it's a burden. It's the burden that I carry in my life.
I'm sorry for you.
But, so, okay, sorry. I just, this is so interesting. So how do you set these up? Like, do you recruit guys and they come to your place, or do these happen kind of naturally at these sex parties that you talk
about? I would say with all my guy friends, I can pretty much call them for a gangbang if I need to, but I have like my favorite sex parties that I go to where I know if I go, there will be a trade. Because another thing I love too is I love making the regular Joe happy. Like my type of guy is a regular schmegular, normal job, normal penis, normal height, normal everything. I just like to very normal because I like to feel like the big deal. Like I like to feel like they're like, wow, I will never forget this moment. So I like going to like sex parties that my friends throw where it's like a new batch of guys and everyone has their condoms and stuff because I only have protected sex with these. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like just new meat. You know, there's nothing like the one thing better for me than dick is new dick. And making that new dick really happy that they met me.
This is going to sound so weird, but you remind me so much of my mother.
Oh, because awkward.
Because my parents were swingers and they used to go to orgy parties. And my mom's whole thing was she was always like, I would always like look for like the ugliest man in the room that wasn't giving him any attention because I'm like the goddess of love and I wanted to like make him feel good.
Wait, your mom sounds like the coolest person ever. But did they tell you that they were swingers like since childhood? Or?
Yeah, I've always known. I've always known they worked in porn. Like my family's very open about sex. Okay, so.
I definitely want to copy that and just have my kid always know that this is cool.
I mean, there's so many people that find... I think it's all on how you're raised, right? Yeah. Like, so if you're raised without a sense of like shame around sexuality, mm-hmm. Then you're not going to really internalize that, you know, when you grow up. I think a lot of these people that are so like angry or aggravated towards like maybe the way that you behave and that you do gangbangs and are so mm-hmm. judgmental of sex workers and stuff like that, they're generally people who are raised in environments that put a lot of shame around sex. Mm-hmm. And so of course, like they carry that into their adulthood, or maybe they were raised, maybe the opposite, maybe they're raised in an environment with like no boundaries. And my parents had boundaries. Yeah. They weren't like sex parties happening at my house when I was a kid.
Yeah, of course.
You know, they were, to me, they were just parents, but they had this like other life that mostly honestly existed before I was born. Once I was born, like they calmed down a lot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they had, you know, they were young and they were hot and it was the fucking 60s and they like were in London and they were having fun, you know?
I went to a sex party in London and I felt like everyone there was like, keep saying American things. And I was like, cheeseburger. And the president and I don't know, words. And they were like, oh my God, I love that one. Keep speaking. And I was like, I don't know if you guys are actually turned on right now. I think you guys are just like, LOL, this stupid American.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
That is so cool. I want to be open to my future children when I like, because I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm way happier the way I am than if mm-hmm. I was in a different way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you want to have a family someday?
Oh yeah. Like right at the edge of menopause, I want to have a kid or two. But right now I just want to like live my life and stuff. But it's always funny because when I like talk about gangbangs, I feel like I didn't say anything wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of speaking my truth. And sometimes the comments are so infuriated. And, like, people are like, you should kill yourself. Like, what the hell? Like, if I meet you in the street, I'm gonna punch you in the face. And I'm like, do you want women to enjoy sex or not? Like, mm-hmm. do you want us to, like, what?
See, that's what I think, like, is the underlying culprit with, you know, so many men specifically, oh, and, you know, honestly, women too, that have such a huge problem with gangbangs is the idea that like a woman could derive pleasure from sex and that a woman would enjoy the attention and be an exhibitionist from all of those men. Because you're right. If you think about it, the flip side, like a guy being like with a bunch of girls, there's not as much stigma around that. But it's the opposite. It's like when women take sexual empowerment like into their own hands and unashamedly enjoy sex, I think a lot of people have problems with that.
Yeah. And that makes me want to gangbang even harder. It makes me suck their dick just a little bit more.
Oh my God, I love you so much.
I love you too.
It makes me want to gangbang even harder. Yeah. Wow, that is a quote. I don't know how I'm going to use that, but I love that so much.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you said you wanted to have kids like on the edge of menopause, which is sort of what I did. And I will actually highly recommend it. I am 43 and I had my daughter when I was 41.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Though I will tell you, like, we are trying to have another one and I don't know if that's going to happen, but, I am glad that I, you know, had like my younger days to do all the crazy shit I wanted to do and like build my career and all that stuff. And then, you know, settle down as a mom.
When I want a kid, I want to be like home and present and I want to be a cool mom, you know? And I like, my partner is so cool and I want us to just have cool kids together.
So you have a partner. So how is he about, are you guys poly, both of you?
Yeah, we're polyamorous. We definitely, I mean, obviously have our boundaries, but he like lets me be me and I let him be him. And it's just like worked so much better for me. And I don't really experience jealousy for like his experiences. I feel a lot of compersion because he's my best friend. So of course I want people to suck his dick and have him be a happy dude.
That's interesting. And I mean, like, was it hard for you to find somebody like that?
I would say, you know what? It kind of wasn't, because I'm just really open about who I am and what I do. So it's not a thing that like I go on a date with a guy and I tell him on the date. Like usually like before we've met in person, you know that this is what I am. You've seen my Instagram. You like, all my friends are some type of deranged pervert in some way. Mm-hmm. So either you're with it or you're not. But usually when they enter the spaces, they see how cool everyone is and how it's not really like a toxic place at all. So I feel like a lot of guys are like, oh, cool. I would say like over time, the real trials and tribulations are like when we have situations that come up and seeing how we react to those situations when we feel like a boundary is crossed or something makes us uncomfortable.
Okay. So like basically how well you communicate.
Yeah. Like we have like a fluid bond, so I don't have off-camera sex raw, which I feel like is a reasonable exchange because, I mean, this person has to be tested and stuff like that.
It's also like just being responsible and safe.
Yeah, like I'm not going to just go out. Like when I go to these gangbangs, it's protected sex of consensual adults, which, you know, which makes me beg, like, what is wrong with the gangbangs? Like I'm doing it in a safe way.
Yeah, and I mean, nobody's going to tell you how... Otherwise, you're just going to gangbang harder.
Yeah, I will gangbang even harder. Mark my words.
So does your partner come with you to these gangbangs? Does he participate?
We go to sex parties together, but honestly, I like to be a solo dolo cruiser. Like I like to have like for me, what's fun is that he does his thing and I do my thing. And then we come together at the end of the night to share our experiences because I'm not really like a unicorn hunter. I'm not like, I love women, but I like to like, just like do a one-on-one. I like either a one-on-one situation or a giant orgy gangbang situation. I don't really like to do threesomes or like uneven like quadrants and stuff.
But, do you feel like it's because like one person's always not getting the attention?
Yeah. And I feel like it's really hard to find like a really like fluid exchange where everyone's on the same page and just as freaky or like, just like meshing well with all the chemistry. So I liked, and also I feel like the experience a woman has with a guy is a little different than what a woman has with a couple. And I want him to have the fullest experience because I don't want the girls to be like, oh, like she's there. Like, I don't want to like moan too hard or anything like that.
Yeah, I can see how there would be like a weird kind of dynamic, like concern about jealousy or possessiveness. Yeah,
and I really truly don't care. Like, I want, if someone sucks his dick better than me, I hope so. Because he deserves that experience and I'm probably like a very mid dick sucker, you know, like I can't deep throat or anything. If a girl can deep throat your dick, have it. Like, cause I will not take that experience from you. And also, I like to believe he's dating me for reasons beyond my dick sucking skills. You know, there's like maybe like five other things he likes about me or something.
So besides the fact that you guys are obviously both very sexually open, what else about your relationship makes you two compatible?
He's really cool. He's very like emotionally intelligent. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he also begs a lot of like room for growth. Like, you know, like we always have an open mind first, you know, before we like see, like make a judgment on a situation. So we do a lot of adventures together. Like we went LARPing together. We went to that furry convention together. And we are able to like mesh into like different worlds and not make people feel uncomfortable or judged. So it's really fun to kind of like be a slutty Anthony Bourdain with him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so hard to find somebody who's so open like that.
Yeah. No, I love adventure and I love just doing weird, freaky shit. So.
Is there anything on your bucket list that you haven't done yet?
I haven't done a DP. And I would love to do an airtight, but before I must walk, I must crawl and do anal first. But I keep giving people poop dick and it makes me afraid. And I just, I don't know, I'm scared.
So, okay. So do you clean out before you do anal?
So I've done anal like once before when I was in high school because I wanted to do the poop hole loophole so I didn't go to hell.
Wait. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Sorry. So you didn't want to lose your virginity. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So
I've never heard that term before.
I didn't want to go to hell. I still am. But yeah, I definitely gave poop dick and because it was high school and I wasn't prepared to like clean my butthole.
Yeah.
But this one time I went to a party and I was on my period and I was like, this is it. This is the day I'm going to get fucked in the butt. I want to get butt fucked. And I did an enema and I didn't know that what happens during an enema is that you do like an ass explosion of crap everywhere. And I was like, after the first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, I'm going to butt plug it up and I'm going to go to the party. And I walk to the party. And
oh, no.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So I was on the bed and I was like, you know what? I'll let my boyfriend have like some pussy sex first. Let me get in the mood. And when I came, I shat on the bed. And I was like, and he was like, babe, you know, and then like a whole crowd of people came and was like, oh no, I think someone, because it looked like period blood, and I was like, oh yeah, my period. Sorry.
Yeah, because it would have been a lot of water.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, and someone was like, oh, I have a Tide pen, and she like, you know, got the Tide pen and started cleaning up my mess, and I was like, wait, but I'm still kind of horny, so I got a bigger butt plug, and I ran outside, and Kitty Jaguar was outside. Do you know Kitty Jaguar? She has like a giant like spider web tattoo in her asshole, so she's a butt expert.
Okay,
and I was like, hey, if I put a butt plug up my butt and I'm still shitting from my enema, will it plug me up? And she was like, theoretically, yes, it's a butt plug. So, but like, stop. But I was like, no. So I put a butt plug up and I like went down and I kept partying. Yeah.
But no more anal.
No more anal.
No more anal attempts that night.
Yeah. I was like, oopsie. I have to, there were so many people there. You know, so I was like, I'm going to figure this out before I like unleash this on like unsuspecting victims.
So did everyone just think that was period blood?
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty watery. So I was like, okay, like, you know, but it was still like not my bed, you know, and other people were fucking on top of it. And like, you know, the party continued. So I was like, let me never return.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You have so many good stories. Okay. So yeah, because the colon can like absorb water. This has happened.
I thought it would be like a 5 minute thing. I didn't know it was an hour.
It also depends on how dehydrated you are too. Yeah. Like your colon will absorb more water and hold it if you're super dehydrated. So
yeah. Lesson learned.
I mean, you must have people that like do a lot of anal to kind of consult with. I remember when I was dating a guy once that like had a huge dick and really loved anal. We called him Anal Hurricane. And I actually reached out to Joanna Angel for advice on it because she's
I have
the
my
anal queen.
Mentors. I love to eat. I need to like time it right where like I can sacrifice a tasty meal to like have like amazing anal the next day. Mm-hmm. But I hate like the lack of spontaneity with anal. You know, like if I want to get fucked right now on this podcast, I could do it. Mm-hmm. But like fucked anally, I'm going to have to clean your carpet and, you know, we might not be friends anymore. So like I just, yeah.
Well, have you heard about butt pasta?
What's butt pasta?
So
it sounds delicious.
So I'm actually quoting an interview that I had with Ryan Keeley, who mm-hmm. was interested in doing anal. She also reached out to Joanna Angel, and I can't remember exactly what the deal was. And again, Joanna, I'm sure I could fill you in, or mm-hmm. we could go back and watch that podcast. But basically that you, cause Ryan's was the same thing. She's like, I'm not going to not eat for like 24 hours. It's insane.
Yeah.
And I think it was something like you could have like carby, starchy foods that didn't have like no sauce or anything like that uh-huh. and no salad. And gummy that bears. Was safe to eat. Gummy bears are also like an option mm-hmm. Because the sugar will help keep blood sugar level up, but you can eat like
yeah.
up till before an anal scene. It just has to be specific, like starchy kind of non-colored foods.
Yeah.
And no, so Ryan called that butt pasta. I think it changed her life.
Yeah. Well, I will get some butt pasta and I will come back to you in my next podcast.
Okay.
Next
and let me know how story. It goes.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like a successful anal experience is in your future.
Yeah. No, I feel like I would love anal because I feel like the thought of being airtight would be so awesome to me mm-hmm. because how am I doing gangbangs and not getting DP'd? Mm-hmm. I only have two available holes, which makes me an amateur gangbanger at best, you know? I want to enter like the gangbang hall of fame.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely got to like throw anal into that mix if that's going to happen.
Yeah. I remember one of my first sex parties, there was this girl and her name was like Galaxy or something. Mm-hmm. She was like a dancer in the daytime and like in the, I guess, evening. And then in the evening, she was the gangbang girl.
Right.
And I remember like seeing her like on the stage and all these guys were just gangbanging her and using all her holes. And I remember just being like, this is awesome. Like, all the guys were like, she's so cool, she's awesome, she's so hot and fun, and she was just making all these men happy, and she was happy, and I was just like, this is like, this girl should be like the president. Like, she made this world a better place by like letting us use her vagina and ass and stuff.
Oh my God, I love that. So, what are your next steps? Okay, anal, right? We're gonna do an anal scene, or you're gonna do an anal scene.
We're gonna do an anal scene. Yeah, you can be there.
I just mean the collective we, the world, and you yeah. is gonna do an anal scene. You're considering possibly doing studio porn. Yeah. Maybe.
It would probably be Brazzers because, I mean, it's just a big one. It's a mm-hmm. big O.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should tell them to have me direct it.
Ooh, that'd be so cute.
I know.
I might do it if you're there.
Tell them you'll only do it if I'm there.
Ooh,
it'll give me so much more clout.
Yeah, I'll be like, I only want it. Holly watching my anal scene on Brazzers.
What else? Like, do you have any other goals in the immediate future?
I want to get to a level of longevity. Like, when I look at people like Riley Reid and Abella Danger and Lana Rhodes, they have like, and Lena DePlug, honestly, they have completely surpassed just being a sex symbol, and they are like a household name. Mm-hmm. And they've like created this level of notoriety where they're making so much money based off their name. Like, mm-hmm. if you say Riley Reid, everybody knows who that is, and everybody mm-hmm. has a boner, and everyone's panties are wet. And I want that power. Like, I mm-hmm. want to do whatever it takes to get there. I did two reality TV show pilots this year so far. I'm not sure if anyone will get to a network, but I'm just getting to every PR source I can and just mm-hmm. showing up.
Yeah.
I'm saying yes to every opportunity. I was in a cooking show, which was so random.
Really?
Yeah, versus Adriana Chechik, which was even more random. We were making mac and cheese.
What was the cooking show?
So OnlyFans has this thing called OnlyFans TV, which is,
it was for OnlyFans.
Yeah, but okay. It was an actual production. Like, we were on set for a day or two, and this, like, chef taught us how to make mac and cheese, and then we versed and stuff. It was cool because I actually do cook, but I always thought, like, if I was in a cooking show, I'd be next to Guy Fieri or something, mm-hmm. but I was next to Adriana Chechik, which is, like, way cooler.
Yeah, I feel like that's so much better company.
Yeah, no, I was like, wow, I'm making pasta next to you. This is awesome.
Were you guys, like, doing like competing
yeah
dishes?
We were competing, you know,
like who makes the best
you could
mac
see
and cheese.
Who wins.
Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, what's the secret? We're gonna have to watch the show to find out.
Yeah, but I also just got on the cover of Australia's Playboy.
Oh,
which
awesome.
Was cool. Yay. And yeah. And I got a feature in Maxim, so I'm just looking to get every eye on me as possible. I'm trying to get on Forbes. I'm trying to get on Vice. I'm doing this thing with Barstool next month. So
that'll give you a lot of exposure.
Yay. So I'm just getting in there. And it's become so fun to where my career is an asset and it's like this cool part of myself, like mm-hmm. Kazumi, who's just like this untouchable character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But don't, I just, though, with all of that PR, how are your parents not going to find out?
I don't know.
I'm thinking
it's going to have to come like this year or something. I just want to do it in a cool way. I want to be like, it's such a funny thing because they're so Asian and old that like whenever they like want help, I'm like, Dad, let me pay for it. And he's like, no. And I'm like, Dad, like, let me, like, what's your retirement plan? Like, I want to help retire you. And he'll be like, no, focus on yourself. Like, stack your money up. And I'm like, you have no idea what I do. Like, you could just stop working. But they just won't stop working. So I'm feeling like if I tell them and I show them how much money I make, they'll stop working and just, like, live like little happy old people. But I feel like they would find out I do gangbangs and then they would be like, no. Yeah, I have to keep working.
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, I don't know. I've talked to quite a few people who thought their parents were going to have a horrific reaction. And, you know, obviously at first they weren't like thrilled.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of parents. But mm-hmm. then like after a time they yeah. saw that their child was doing well and was happy and yeah. successful. And
I mean, I'm pretty sure they know I'm a slut, but I don't know the true depths of depravity that like really go on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you.
You're going to have to let me know if it's you like finally tell them.
Eternal anxiety. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I know. I wish I could make people in the world more accepting of the gangbang gal.
Yeah. If everyone got a gangbang, everyone would be happy.
I know, right?
Yeah.
If everybody just really knew what they were about,
mm-hmm.
which is about your pleasure.
Yeah.
And you having like an amazing time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're out here changing, I think, people's minds.
Oh, yeah. Get gangbanged. It's awesome.
I can guarantee you there's going to be one comment on this video is going to be like, you know, she changed my mind about gangbangs. You know, changing the world one gangbang at a time. Kazumi, thank you so much for coming on. This was really
fun. Thanks for having me on.
I do have some questions for my Patreon members that I'm going to ask you in a little bonus Q&A. So if you're a member of my Patreon, you will be able to watch this extra little piece of fun content. If you're not, then why aren't you? You should join. Patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Kazumi, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
The best way we could talk is from my OnlyFans, which is Kazumi's World. It's always $3. It's always accessible. And my Instagram for now is also under the same name, Kazumi's World. But I get deleted, so you should probably subscribe.
Fantastic. And you guys can find me at Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. Don't forget, I'm on TikTok, so follow me there, Holly Randall Unfiltered. I also have an OnlyFans, which I like never promote on this show. But if you want to check it out, it's OnlyFans.com/HollyRandall. And of course, as I mentioned before, if you want to support the show, go to Patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my show and want to support it, I ask that you take the time to rate and review my podcast. Now, if you're not sure how to do that, you can go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll automatically be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then be led to the place where you can rate my show. 5 stars, of course, and leave your glowing review. Okay, it doesn't have to be glowing, but you know, say something nice. You can also financially support this show through my Patreon by visiting patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, where you get so many perks for your support. Things such as early releases and live recordings of my interviews, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, autographed copies of my photography books, free access to my private Snapchat and not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, and my bonus podcast, My LA Porn Life. Also, join my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/HollyRandallUnfiltered, and you can watch the video versions of these interviews at youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Oh, and of course, sign up for my newsletter at hollyrandallunfiltered.com and get all the info on upcoming guests and special projects. Again, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting my podcast in whatever way that you can.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time. No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.